Hello, everyone. This is day one of wine and Jesus. Go. Bubble idea, what was it?
I had this idea a few months ago. This image popped in my head about God in eternity, in the existence eternal. Okay.
And then before everything.
Before everything.
Before there was
Before there was any before.
Idea of time.
Right. And of course, he's in eternity, and in the ethereal existence of nature, there's nothing. There's just
him.
Him, and he created a bubble of time of 7,000 years.
Yep.
And this bubble, he just, it's just there. And in this bubble is
creation.
Everything that happened in 7,000 years, all of creation, the whole universe, the galaxies, the stars, Earth, Adam, everything.
From zero until New Jerusalem.
All done all at the same time.
Through end of millennium.
Through eternity.
Yeah, yeah.
Future.
Yeah.
And so he sees all of it all at once.
Yeah.
And he created all of it. And he moves like a chess pieces in and out, and he's with us, and he provided Christ on the cross at the exact time, and he was able to tell Daniel exactly when Christ was going to come because it was already happening.
He's looking at it in the past and present all at once.
Exactly. So like whenever it talks about those he foreknew, he predestined to be like Christ, he knew throughout the eternity.
It doesn't mean he's blocking people out.
No, he's not blocking anybody.
He just already knows the end.
He opened up salvation to everyone.
Everybody.
But he knew the people that would choose him.
Because he knows everything.
Right. And it's because he could see the whole timeline from beginning to end.
Yeah.
And so he saw, okay, you're going to choose him. I'm going to choose him. So he orchestrated our lives before they even happened. Okay, he's going to love me. She's going to love me. I'm going to make it so that they can become like my son Christ and that I can purify them for my service.
And I'm still dying for everybody.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Dying for the whole world.
Wow.
To open up salvation to the whole world.
He could have only died for the ones that he knew would believe in him, but he didn't do that.
He died for everybody's
sins.
Because John 3:16 exactly says, for whosoever believeth in him. Everybody, that opens up to the whole world from Adam.
Extra generous, I'll tell you that.
It is, because he suffered for everybody.
Even Hitler.
Right, even Hitler.
All the evils of all the murderers and rapists everybody. He died for all those, and all they had to do was accept that. So all those sins are paid for beforehand. It's whether you accept the payment or not.
Like if somebody gives you a gift card to Starbucks for $10 and you never go get your coffee from Starbucks.
It's still paid for. You just aren't redeeming it.
Right. I have the gift card burning in my pocket right
now. That's a good way of explaining like what salvation is. It's like you have a gift card that you have to redeem. If you don't redeem it, nobody else gets it, but it's just in your name and it's wasted.
Right.
And it really is wasted.
It really is wasted.
And what an insult that is.
It is.
If I buy you a present and you leave it there on the sidewalk, that's really an insult.
It is.
Still love you, but that's an insult.
Right.
And then why would you do that? Why would I give you this and you just walk away?
Right.
I would have to be now in my human nature. That's very insulting.
It is.
But for God, it's just sad.
But he already knew.
Yeah, he knew.
He already knew.
But he did it.
Right.
That's amazing. I don't understand atheists' heads either. I don't get that. And we've talked about atheists in the past. You got to wonder how much arrogance is involved with an atheist. I think my heart breaks for atheists because I believe that, and we talked about this, as you and me in the past, unrecorded, how everybody innately knows that there's a God. I don't believe that everybody innately knows that there's Jesus. But I believe that everybody innately knows that there is a God.
Well, the proof is that.
And they find out later if they have a brain right. and if they read anything, that it's not Allah,
well, the
that
proof,
it's not Buddha. They find out that it is Yahweh and Jesus from this simple recorded history.
Right.
Not even the Bible. There's so much other proof.
Right, right.
And then if you read the Bible, it all comes into play. And I love how all these authors, it's not one person writing a book. Okay, it's not one person that wrote this book.
It's
lots of people right. who wrote this, and it all corresponds with each other,
right.
and it all lines up,
right.
and they're writing hundreds of
it
years
all points
before
to Christ.
It all points to all Christ, points the whole to Christ, thing.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Right. And but the proof of that there is no atheist, truly an atheist, is say you're in a car and you go off the side of a bridge into a lake and you're drowning and there's no way to get out the car. What is every person on the planet going to do?
Yeah.
They're going to cry out to God for help. Every single person will do yeah. that. And whether
and
they...
You know, whether they're... Whatever their God is.
Whatever the God... They're going to cry
God,
for help. Right.
There's a God.
Right.
Now, I can understand why some people would be like, well, there's a God, but it's not Yahweh or Jesus. Okay? Because they get the wrong idea. They get lied. They're manipulated. They're raised Muslim. They're raised Buddhist. But I don't understand. I can get that because it's how you're raised. It's what you're presented with. It's what's acceptable in your area. But I cannot understand atheists where they say there is no God, right. that there's no right. higher being, that there was a gas and it exploded and then we have caterpillars.
Right.
What's wrong with
right.
you? Like
we were just talking
what's
about
wrong with your brain?
Ago, there, nothing can come from nothing.
That was really rude, but I mean, really, if you think that there are two gases and then we have Mozart, I just, right. that's like, that just
it,
blows
it defies
my mind.
Every law of thermodynamics
and
that
every
has
logical,
been established.
Just anything logical.
Right.
And then they don't ever want to, like, even when I was very young, I asked a scientist at an observatory once, I said, well, who made the gases? And they said, well, the gases just always were there. And, you know, I'm little. I was like 6. And I'm thinking, first of all, you have no way of knowing that.
Right.
Because you're 40 years old. And,
right.
you know, you live
you
in an apartment.
You can't tell me the weather next
you live
week.
In an apartment.
Right.
And you work at NASA. right. You have no idea right. about what you say is 8 billion years ago. But right. you're so sure. Like, you're so sure of that. But yet, you're going to say that Jesus... There's no way that could happen. But you're sure that billions, you're absolutely right. sold out sure to argue with me that that billions of years ago we had two gases that exploded
for
no
reason.
First of all,
who made the gases?
That was my thing. Who made the gases?
Made the
well,
gases?
There always were. So, well, what was before the gases? See, the more you go back and go
right.
back and go back and go back and go back and go back.
There had to be something to start with.
What was the initial thing?
Right. It doesn't
There's
make sense.
Nothing
There's
before
nothing.
God.
Right.
I mean, let's ignore Jesus a minute and say, all right, we're going to go back. Just in logic, there had to be the one single solitary thing for existence. There had to be... something, and that was stupid.
Right.
That one thing was stupid. It was a gas.
Yeah.
It was bacteria. There's no way.
Right.
There's no way.
Because intelligence cannot come from randomness.
So if we agree, as with science and logic and reason that we have as humans, that there is a God.
It has to
all
be.
Right. So all right, a God. Now, a God... Why would a God, if you say he made the gases and that there was a big bang, which I don't buy, but let's go down that road that there was a God and there was a big bang, and then here we are with iPhones and podcasts and wine and Mozart and Van Halen. Okay. Why?
Yeah.
Why? Why am I here? Why is there mountains? Why is there grass? All right, so there has to be something going. There has to be a purpose. So if you look at, and I heard this online a couple weeks ago, like, if you look at every other religious leader that there's been, every other philosophical leader that there has been, they all ended their life, like Buddha, everybody, ended their life saying they didn't know what it was all about. All of them said that they're like, I don't know.
They're all stupid.
Let's not go there.
Well, the reason why I say that is because
they're not stupid.
I know.
They're misled.
I am not a philosopher. I'm just me. I do have some education, but I'm just me. And I'm not a theologian. I've studied doctrine. I've studied the Bible.
But you have a brain.
But
you
I have
can read
a
the
brain.
Bible and think.
Right. But see, I know what it's all about. It's all about Christ.
It's about relationship.
And it's about the relationship I have with Christ and the service I have to do for him. And I've always said, I've never been afraid of death ever in my life. The reason why is because I know, I've always known, I am immortal until my purpose is complete.
That's correct.
And then at one point in my life, when my life was really, really rough, you know, the things that I've gone through with cancer and everything like that.
Right.
And I've never been afraid of death. And then all of a sudden, then I'm going through severe depression and grief and loss and mourning and wanting to die. And I knew, oh no, I can't die. I am immortal until my purpose is complete. How in the world can I finish this purpose? Because I know God will not let me die until I'm done. And I'm like, I don't want to get done.
Until he's ready, you're bulletproof.
Exactly. Because when I got saved and gave my life to the Lord, I gave him a blank check. And I just said yes to whatever you have for me. Good. And it included both good things and bad things. And I know he's not going to let me die until I've done everything that he has for me to do. My work for the kingdom.
He's given you an experience.
Part of my story.
And he has given you an experience for one reason, to draw you closer to him.
And
that's the thing.
Yes.
That's the thing. So
purify and give me a testimony.
Whether you have cancer or you're healthy, rich or poor, if you are a believer, I believe this. If you're a believer, whether you're rich or poor, that being rich or poor is designed for your personality, because that will bring you closer to him. Some of us need to be rich. Some of us need to be poor to honor Jesus. I don't understand why. I have no idea.
God is not worried about your bank account.
No. Right, I'm just using that as an example.
Right.
Some of us are talented musicians. Some of us are tone deaf. I'm saying whatever he has given you, he designed for you, good and bad, to draw you nearer to him and to make you realize that without him, you cannot make it.
Well, I say your purpose is twofold. It is what for the first purpose that you have. You want another? Want some more?
I'll get it.
Okay, thanks.
You want some more?
By the way, if you're listening to this, we are drinking the great San Antonio wine. It is.
And we're not getting drunk.
We're not getting
before
drunk.
Before you start.
Yes, we are just enjoying a bottle of wine, and it's a brand new variation. It's called the Grape Blend.
Grape red.
It's real nice, and we just enjoy wine. We do not believe that it is wrong to enjoy wine. It's wrong to get
Jesus
drunk.
Jesus had wine,
and people
but
say
he was never drunk, and he never sinned.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, so I believe that our purpose on life that God has given us is twofold. The first purpose, of course, is to know him and to become
absolutely
and to be saved and to give our lives to him in salvation so that we can go to heaven when we die. The second is very closely in importance, and that is the work we do for the kingdom.
Yeah. Spreading the word for his.
Exactly.
Yeah, for
following
him.
The Great Commission.
Yes, that's right.
Right. And any work we do for the kingdom. So to me, nothing else matters other than your salvation and your work for the kingdom.
Let me emphasize that. I like that. And I live by nothing else matters. I really do. But I think that a lot of times when you tell believers and non-believers that nothing else matters, because I did this last week, and it sounded like I sounded really insulting. I said, my marriage doesn't matter, my kids don't matter. I didn't mean that.
Not the way that it came across.
I didn't mean it that way, but I was really blunt about it with somebody. I think what I meant was, is that, like, it matters. It's not lasting. Nothing else lasts. The only thing that lasts forever is what you did for Jesus. Right. That's what, now, you can make your marriage that. That it can last for Jesus if you love her like the bride of Christ.
Which if you're every raising husband your, is called to do.
Of course, if you're raising your kids to believe in him, that will last forever. Right. But what I mean is, like, you cannot put your wife, marriage, job above your service of Christ. If your wife or husband is getting in the way of you testifying for Jesus, you got to handle that somehow. If your kids are embarrassed of you sharing the word of Christ, you need to have a talk with them. If your job is not allowing you to do what you want, anything that impedes your walk with Christ does not matter.
Yeah.
Nothing else matters outside of Christ. But I guess at the end of it, what believers who say that mean is, if you don't have Jesus first, nothing else matters. And that's a fact.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Think about an atheist who's a good person. And there are atheists who are good people and who are loving and do things for others.
Which is
there
why are those people. I don't believe in Calvinism.
That's a different podcast.
Okay.
But if you're an atheist and you're doing good things, it is good that you are doing that. You're helping others. That's right. Fantastic.
But it means
but it has
nothing.
It has nothing. It has no value eternally.
If that's
you're
what
getting
it means,
nothing. You're still going to go to hell.
When it says our righteousness is as filthy rags.
That's right. We outside of Christ, that means nothing. And here's why. Because when you die, none of that means anything. Because what God looks at first is, do you believe in my son, Jesus?
Right.
Did you accept his
exactly.
payment?
Exactly.
Now, if that's yes, now.
What did you
now,
do?
Now, look at what you've done. Look at
right.
the great things you've
and
done.
Then,
but if you die and you don't believe in that, he's not even going to ask
right.
what you did because
right.
it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because the primary thing in life, number one, is Jesus Christ and
right.
his blood
right.
for your life
right.
and salvation.
That has to be there.
That's
right.
primary.
And
it is singular
right.
and it is exclusive.
Right. right. It is. It is. And then those believers who have put their trust in the Lord, and then at the white throne judgment, not the white throne, the Bema. Which one? I forgot which one.
Well, what are
it's
you talking about?
It's the one where our works are tried.
Rewarded?
And yes, tried.
That's Bema.
That's Bema. Okay,
and that's
so,
right after rapture.
I believe that's during the 7 years.
I do too. That's right after rapture, and
right.
we go up. There's the marriage supper in the Bema.
Right in the Bema.
Right.
Okay.
The white throne. You don't want to be.
Yeah. Right. yeah.
The white throne.
Nobody wins the white throne. except for Christ.
And the reason why it's white is that's purity. You
right.
can't stand in the face
right.
of purity outside of
right.
Christ.
Exactly.
You can't stand up against that
is when
judgment. When
all of our works are judged by motives. And so, like, I like to think about the parable of the talents and how he gave to one. It's just the parable, but I forget which chapter. Maybe Mark 15, I don't remember. But he gave, the Lord gave to one guy 5 talents. And he gave to another guy for 2 talents, and he gave another guy 1 talent.
That's in the Bible, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe it's in Mark 15. I forgot which chapter it is.
Go ahead.
But it's one of the parables. And so then the Lord leaves, and then he tells the guys to invest it. And so he comes back, and he goes up to the guy with the 5 talents and says, okay, I gave you 5 talents. What have you done with them? And the guy says, look, I invested my 5 talents and now I have 10. And the Lord says, you have been a very profitable servant. Thank you very much. Well, the guy that was given 2, the Lord comes up to him and says, what have you done with it? Well, if I think, I like to think of myself as the guy with the 2. I'm not the guy with the 1. I'm not the guy with the 5. I can double my money and still get four, and I'll still not have as many as the guy that started out with five.
I think that's most believers.
That's most of us. We're mediocre.
Right. That's most people.
Right. We kind of in the bell curve, you know. So we're the guy. Right. So we can't compare ourselves to the guy with the five. We can't compare ourselves with the guy with the one. We just have to do with what God gave us.
Yeah.
And God, Lord, you gave me two talents. I invested them, and I now have two.
Yep.
Oh, four. Sorry. I can do math. And so then the Lord says to him the same thing. Well done, good and faithful servant. You invested wisely. You were a profitable servant. And he goes up to the guy with the one. And the guy with the one says, oh, I was so scared. I knew you reap where you don't sow. And da-da-da. And I took up my tent and I buried it. And the Lord was like, you just said, I reap where I don't sow. I expect you to do something with this. So he took it from the guy with the one and gave it to the guy with the 10. And he took the guy that he'd given the one talent to, and he threw them in outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm.
That's rough. That's
rough.
Because that means hell.
Outer darkness
where there's weeping.
If God is light.
Weeping and gnashing of teeth.
If God is light.
Exactly.
He's not in outer darkness, is he?
And he doesn't. There's two options.
You got the word outer.
Outer and darkness.
And darkness.
Right.
And we know that God is inner.
Right.
And light.
And so, this was a servant. Yeah, this was not some random guy on the street. This was the servant.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I don't want to.
And we're not saved by works. That's not what you're meaning.
No, no, no. But we're saved by, firstly, like you said earlier, it's the faith. Yeah. You have to be a believer first.
Believe in Christ.
But the works, he tells everybody, there's two options. Jesus, when there's a believer that dies and goes to heaven, or somebody that dies and goes to heaven, there's only two things he can tell them. He says, welcome, thou good and faithful servant.
Or I never knew you.
Or I never knew.
Yeah, that's it.
It's binary. It is not, you
binary.
Got it in the skin of your teeth.
You know,
we
this
have
is,
a post for dog catcher.
I
We're going to put you
I
down
have,
here.
I have no, that's always.
Not, it's either great job or I never knew
that's
you.
That's exactly. And you know what? I have all my life seen everything black and white. This is either right or wrong.
Right.
And the reason why I don't believe there's a gray in life is there's heaven and hell.
Right.
In God's mind, everything that you do is either right or wrong.
Right.
And I mean everything that you do. There is no, circumstances. There's not that at all. If you're starving and your family is starving and you're in a war-torn area and your family is starving and you go and steal bread, that's a sin. Sorry. By definition. I'm sorry. Things are black and white. Things are black and white. So that's just how my brain works. If there's heaven and if there's hell, you got black and white. You got right and wrong.
I'm pretty black and white. I would find in that particular circumstance.
Well, that's an extreme.
That's an extreme.
But I just mean, I believe
like
that there's right and wrong.
There is right and wrong. I feel like there's like a way you could say, hey, I need some bread. Can I offer you some money? And
but like when we talk about, okay, that was a bad
you.
Example.
Yeah.
That was a
you
bad
know,
example.
It's like
but
you
what
can
I mean
negotiate
is, what
something.
I mean is,
you
yeah,
know?
Yes. But what I mean is like when somebody's, as well, it's A and B is not wrong because of C. Well,
yeah,
you Tell better that. Be careful. You better be careful.
What was the guy's name?
Because I don't think that Jesus thinks like that.
Nuh-uh.
If he says this is wrong, it's pretty much wrong.
Right, right. Well, okay, so perfect. I was gonna go back. I was gonna go to the guy that died when God struck him down because he. The Ark of the Covenant was going
to,
and he meant to prevent it from falling, and God struck him dead, because he said not to touch it, and he touched
it. Don't touch it.
And even though his motives were pure, but what I really would like
we're
to
we're
going to
go off on a tangent for this though for just a minute.
Okay.
I believe. all right. Ark of the Covenant. I believe that the power of God in that was so strong. That it was like radioactive, nuclear, whatever.
That was like
and
a lightning bolt.
It was a toxic kind of a thing that was a physical death that it was so powerful, electromagnetic.
Would it be kind of like when the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus' garment? Well, I mean, kind of a
look,
thing?
If you look at Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, I know, right? I was kidding.
I'm not touching that.
Don't look, Mary.
I'm not touching that. I'm sure not opening that. But, you know, I mean,
anyway, think about Cain and Abel. Perfect example.
But God made pufferfish. You can't touch those.
Right, exactly.
You're going to die. I think it was like that. He was like, look, I've made this ark. It's very powerful electromagnetic radiation, whatever it was.
I don't know what it
was. The Holy Spirit.
I don't know if it was all that.
No, but now, wait a minute. No, it is sent out power and killed armies. There was something in there of a tangible, real thing.
The statue of Dagon, they woke up every morning. Yeah. The statue of Dagon had fallen every day because that community, I forgot, it was the Assyrians or whatever, had stolen the Philistines.
You can accidentally
do
something wrong.
Had stolen the Ark of the Covenant and the statue of Dagon. Yeah. Every day they'd walk in, they had to prop him back
up. You can accidentally die.
Right, yeah.
Right?
What I wanted to do.
You can accidentally fall off a cliff. Okay. And die. That's what the guy did. He accidentally touched the ark. Something was very potent with the ark that he said, hey, don't touch this.
Right,
and he did.
Right.
But it's not God's fault touched it.
He broke the rules.
But the rule was there as a warning. It wasn't like a curse.
No, it wasn't.
It was just a warning. There's so much power in this.
Right. But
I just think that's really interesting. The whole touching the ark thing is cool.
It's
cool.
It's sad for the family.
So this is what I thought also. There's this recent thing about how like somebody supposedly found the Ark of the Covenant, and I was thinking, well, you could touch that now. Because the Holy Spirit's not in there. Jesus has already died, been resurrected in heaven.
The Holy Spirit is in there.
The Holy Spirit's not in there anymore. Yeah,
it's in the
it's an empty box. Now, now you could pick that up and move that. But I sure wouldn't want to when I was Indiana Jones. I tell you that.
Well,
you can leave that alone.
I think it would be so fragile right now. I don't think it would be available to be touched.
Acacia would. After a couple thousand years.
Yeah, it's,
you wouldn't want to mess with it.
Right. It's probably very...
What was the guy's name? Rick Warren? Not Rick.
Rick Warren to the purpose-driven life. What are you talking about?
Never mind. Not.
What are you talking about?
No, Rick Warren did not discover the Ark of the Covenant.
No.
All right.
It was Harrison Ford.
No. All right. Stop. Ron Wyatt on YouTube. If you look up Ron Wyatt, he supposedly found the Ark of the Covenant, and it was underneath... It was underneath where Jesus was crucified and the blood had dripped down on it. Look that up.
Which is the Temple Mount.
You got to look that up
online.
It's
in those tunnels.
Yeah.
You know,
you got to look that up
I was in Israel,
on YouTube.
We were almost, we could see the entrance to the tunnels. It was pretty cool.
I'm telling you, I've never been. I want to go so bad.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay, so Cain and Abel.
We have 2.5 minutes left on what I have deemed as our half hour limit. We're going to pray for everyone who is listening. Well, on our next one.
Okay, all right.
I'm going to do a half hour limit for upload time and people's attention. Let's pray.
In Jesus.
Lord in heaven, we love you. We ask you bless this podcast on YouTube and wherever else I can upload it. This was a spur of the moment decision we had to do a wine and Jesus labeled thing, and we hope that you like it. We enjoy Jesus and God and science and talking about love and service and the Bible and your word, and I ask that you bless everyone. This has been Wine and Jesus, and we're going to have more of these, I hope, because I had a blast. This was a half hour of Christian fun, and we hope that if you do not believe in Christ, that this evening you will lay down your life and worship Him. Because outside of Christ, without the belief of Him over your life, when you die, you will not be allowed in heaven.
That's right.
And if you're not allowed in heaven, there's only one place left, and that's outer darkness and hell. And you don't want to be there. It's worse than being at Disney on a busy weekend. It's going to be hot. It's going to be hotter than that weekend at Disney on a bad weekend, and there's gonna be no rides. There's gonna be no water. It's gonna be very bad.
Opposite of goodness.
And we're almost at a half hour. Have a great evening. And I hope you like this. If you did, comment, share, like.
Subscribe.
Yes. And we love you. Good night.
God bless all of you.